You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday, everyone. The end of the week is always a time to celebrate, and I suspect that's especially the case when your basketball team is 3-0 on the week, punctuated by last night's nationally televised stomping of the defending champion Golden State Warriors on national television. So, with that in mind, welcome to a Friday episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on all things Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. Friday's show is brought to you courtesy of our friends and partners over at MyBookie. Go to MyBookie's website at mybookie.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and from there they will match your first deposit by 100% up to $1,000. Now, as we chat this Friday, the good is that the Rockets are red hot on the basketball floor. They've won 3 in a row and 6 of 8, punctuated by, as stated, Thursday night's big win, 107-86, over the Golden State Warriors. The bad, we're not going to talk about that too much today. If you want analysis on what's going on the floor, check out our episode from late Thursday night, our recap of that 107-86 win, which the Rockets, on so many levels, played very, very well. Today's show, as promised, we're going to address the elephant in the room, or now almost out of the room, that being Carmelo Anthony, who remains technically a Houston Rocket, but really it's in name only, with the Rockets issuing a statement Thursday that they would be parting ways with him. So to start with, I'm going to read the statement from Rockets GM Daryl Morey. After much internal discussion, the Rockets will be parting ways with Carmelo Anthony, and we are working toward a resolution. Carmelo had a tremendous approach during his time with the Rockets and accepted every role head coach Mike D'Antoni gave him. The fit we envisioned when Carmelo chose to sign with the Rockets has not materialized. Therefore, we thought it best to move on, as any other outcome would have been unfair to him. I think the most important part of that statement, and this is me, the statement is over now, is that final clause, as any other outcome would have been unfair to him. When trying to break down why this saga has lasted a few days, the reports first started last Saturday that the Rockets and Melo might be parting ways. The reality is that the Rockets, it's not as if he was a huge negative. Now, certainly he wasn't a big part of the solution, but he also wasn't the problem as far as why they started 1-5, why they started 4-7. There were some media narratives, including Thursday night's TNT broadcast, that made him out to be an unsuitable replacement for Trevor Ariza and or Luke Bamute, but that was never what the Rockets envisioned him to be. They envisioned him as a 4-5, basically a Ryan Anderson replacement, but ultimately there were times that Ryan Anderson did not play at all last year, especially in the playoffs, and it remained to be seen if a 34-year-old Carmelo Anthony, not too far removed from his prime and a guy that's a certain Hall of Famer, would accept that role. So in a perfect role, yeah, he's better than whoever the Rockets will have, most likely, as far as their 10th, 11th roster spots. And I think in a perfect world, the Rockets would have loved to have kept him because there are some matchups, for example, Brooklyn and Chicago, when the Rockets were 1-5 and won those two back-to-back games a couple of weeks ago to climb off the mat. I don't think the Rockets do that without Carmelo Anthony. But unfortunately, there are certain political realities that come with his status, and with the Rockets issuing that direct statement saying any other outcome would have been unfair to him, to me, it's a clear allusion to that factor. They're not saying that he's the problem, that this thing was a disaster, that there's no way that they could make it work. It's just, it's not really a fit, especially with what Carmelo may want. And keep in mind, the Carmelo courtship process went on for nearly a month in the summer, and there are things the Rockets know that were said in those meetings that we don't. The Rockets were not his only suitor. He interviewed with the Miami Heat as well. Keep in mind, it took over a month from the time that it was leaked the Thunder would be parting ways with him to when he was actually traded to the Atlanta Hawks and then ultimately sent through waivers. Melo and the Rockets had extensive conversations, and those were two-way. It wasn't just the Rockets laying out to Carmelo how he would be used. It was also feeling out how it would mesh with what he wanted. So I'm sure there were things discussed this summer in terms of what he would be comfortable with, what he wouldn't be. And when Gary Clark, the undrafted rookie forward out of Cincinnati who played so well in Thursday night's big win over the Warriors, started to emerge, then I think the Rockets could see the writing on the wall, especially coupled with the 4-7 start, that there weren't going to be as many opportunities to experiment with Melo as perhaps they had hoped or expected. And based on prior meetings with him, and also they've spoken with him throughout this process that really began on Saturday, I do think the Rockets had a pretty good idea of what he would ultimately be comfortable with. And ultimately, as they mentioned, it's unfair to him in that role if it's not what he wants. And it's also detrimental to the Rockets, because the last thing you want is a 10th or 11th man that's not going to play at all on many nights being unhappy, because they're not going to provide you that much value on the basketball floor when their role is that limited. So what you need from those guys is for them to be supportive on the bench, in the locker room, and if the player isn't happy, it's going to cut into their ability to do that. As I mentioned earlier in the week, an analogy I keep coming back to, there's a reason why you don't see too many high-profile backup quarterbacks in the NFL, because generally speaking, the headlines, the drama that can come with those guys, it's not worth it if they're not going to play. Now, we'll talk more in our second segment about how this came to be and why this wasn't a fit. But in this first segment, I do want to discuss what this means for the here and now, because technically, Carmelo Anthony is still on the team. And I'm sure some of you are wondering, why would the Rockets issue this statement that they're parting ways rather than just do it? And there are a few reasons for that. First off, keep in mind, the Rockets do not desperately need the roster spot. If they're going to sign someone else or convert Gary Clark's contract, which is an inevitability at this point, they do have another roster spot available. So they're not desperate to create this. It's not as if the Rockets have some incentive that they have to get this done immediately. And also, with Gerald Green back, he returned from his ankle sprain Thursday night, and I don't think Brandon Knight and Nene are too far off. It's not like they're so thin that they have to go out and sign someone. So when you accept that they don't need the roster spot, the only way that it would make sense is if there was a clear financial angle for the team or a personal reason for Melo to let him go. There's not really a personal reason for Melo, because with this statement, the Rockets have made clear to the entire league that he's available. Of course, I think most in the league knew that already from their various rumors that were out there, and Melo's agency representation is very well respected. But now the Rockets have publicly said they're parting ways. They're not going to walk that statement back. It's done. So as far as Melo fighting another team, he may not be a free agent technically just yet, but the Rockets made it pretty clear with this statement that if and when he finds a suitor, that there will be no holdup in him becoming available. Ultimately, the reason this process drug out for a few days is because it turns out that Carmelo does not have a suitor. This is what I've been saying all week, is that the process will take a few days, but it shouldn't take weeks, because really it's just Carmelo's team feeling out the league for possible landing spots, and at the moment it doesn't seem that he has any. Now, that might change as teams deliberate more. They kind of see what they have, take inventory, if you will. There also could be injuries around the league, so there could be a fit later on, but right now there's not one. And if there's not a fit, why does Carmelo need to be released immediately? There's not really any downside to him, and there's a lot of upside for the Rockets, and actually some upside for Carmelo as well, to waiting until there's a team that's willing to claim him. The benefit for the Rockets, if his contract is claimed off the waiver wire, it reduces the luxury tax hit. That's not insignificant. There might also be a chance, if this thing drags into December, that the Rockets could actually trade him for a very small asset. And I'm sure some of you are wondering, Ben, why would the Rockets get any value? Why would any team give Houston something for a player that they've said they're going to waive? And it's not to get him out of Houston. It's to keep him away from other teams, because theoretically, on a minimum contract, he could be claimed. This is not the typical veteran buyout slash waiver process like Tyson Chandler with the Suns a week ago, where it's a mere formality that he'll pass through waivers. The reason those are typically formalities is because those players are typically making, in Chandler's case, nearly $15 million a year. Well, virtually no teams have that level of cap room or the means to create it during the season. So it's not that teams don't want to claim them, it's that even if they wanted to, they can't. With Carmelo, at the minimum, he can be claimed. So because of that threat, there is a small chance the Rockets could get something. I doubt, based on the fact he's 34 years old and just not that good at basketball anymore, I don't think it'd be significant. There's a small chance you could get a late second-round pick, or more likely a heavily protected second-round pick that never materializes, but possibly some cash in there as well to further help out with the luxury tax situation. So be it just a straight waiver claim, which helps the Rockets tax-wise, or even a small trade if this thing lingers into December when players can technically be traded, there is potential upside for the Rockets, and there's not that much downside, because really, they don't need that roster spot desperately anyway. They do have another roster spot if there's someone they want to sign, or if there's a reason to convert Gary Clark's two-way deal immediately. And to some extent, it also protects Carmelo Anthony, because if he really wants to go to a team, then the best way to do it is clearly the trade route. But even beyond the trade route, maybe if he gets a public declaration, that makes it more likely that he can get through waivers. But if he just gets, say, released today, then there's a chance that a bad team could claim him. And that's not really a fit for Carmelo, but you can never predict what teams in the NBA are going to do, especially when you're talking about a minimum contract here. The reality is that this arrangement, effectively keeping him on the roster for the time being, even though they announced their parting ways, it actually protects Melo in terms of what his next move is, because now he can't be claimed if he's just released today. Really, there's no downside for the Rockets. There's only upside. And from Carmelo's standpoint, there's not really any upside. If he doesn't have a team, the odds are he would just be sitting on his couch for the time being. And there's a small possibility, no matter how small, it's not zero, that he could be claimed by a situation in which he doesn't want to go to. And because it's a contract, there's not a whole lot he could do about it. So really, for both sides, there's not much downside. There's only upside. And for the Rockets especially, to me, this is the arrangement that just makes the most sense. They couldn't let this storyline drag out forever, the will he, won't he. They had to have some resolution, but at the same time, they also had to give Carmelo a few days to feel out the league to see if there was a landing spot, and they did that. It appears, at least for the time being, there is not one. So now the questions have been brought to a close. The situation is basically null and void, and the Rockets and Carmelo can each move on. Now, we'll talk momentarily about how this came to be and what the factors were leading to this split after just 13 games for the Rockets. But for now, I do want to pause and acknowledge our awesome sponsors over at MyBookie, because without support of sponsors such as them, we would not be able to bring this show to you as frequently as we do, the only daily podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. And you know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. And usually the most common question I get involves who and when to bet. And the truth is, I don't know who's going to win, but if you think you know, you've got to check out MyBookie. Because remember, who you're betting on, it's only as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they are your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, they've got great reviews online, and their mobile site at mybookie.ag is very easy to use. So lay down some cash and win big today. I would only recommend a service to our listeners here at Locked On Rockets. It's been good to me. And that's why I'm urging you to make your way over to MyBookie, where you win and they pay. They've got in-game live betting, they've got the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player might have with each game. So join now, and the real perk, MyBookie will match your initial deposit dollar for dollar just by using the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. So visit MyBookie online today, that's MyBookie, and don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim that bonus. Again, it's MyBookie at MyBookie.ag, where you play, you win, you get paid, and they will match your first deposit by 100% up to $1,000. So we spent a lot of the first segment discussing Thursday's developments on the Carmelo Anthony front, specifically the Rockets issuing a statement that they will be parting ways with him. There are no more questions. There are no more assumptions. There are no more strongly suspects. It's done. He's a member of the team in name only, because it's beneficial to the team and for Melo for him to be claimed when he's on the waiver wire for the team. That means they get the luxury tax benefits of him not going all the way through. There's also a small chance they could actually trade him in December when newly signed players are eligible to be dealt if the situation drags into then and the Rockets already have an open roster spot are not desperate to create a second one for the time being. As far as with Melo, if he doesn't have a team, then it doesn't really matter whether he's technically a free agent or he's still a member of the Houston Rockets. The end game is still the same for him, so there's not really any downside for him either. And that's why, for the time being, even though he's not going to be a Rocket, it makes sense that he's technically a part of the roster. So that's the current lay of the land. What I want to discuss now is sort of how this came to be, specifically some of the commentary we've heard from the Rockets this week, because one of the most common questions I've got is that if this thing was done since Saturday, why did Daryl Morey get in front of the media and say that he expected Carmelo to return to the Rockets? Why did he deny the initial reports? And there are a few reasons for this. First and foremost, I do think the Rockets feel bad for Carmelo Anthony. He's, even at 34 years old, as a scorer, he's still gifted. But more than that, his approach with the team was exemplary. He was great in the locker room. His teammates loved him. A good guy, worked hard. really his deficiencies, especially on the defensive end of the floor, it's not really related to effort. It's just at this point, his body, now in year 16 in the NBA, is not what it used to be. And for a guy that's given you everything and a guy that definitely had other options this summer, we mentioned the Miami Heat earlier, for a guy who sacrificed things to sign with you for the minimum and worked his butt off to all of a sudden be scapegoated for the 1-5 start, the 4-7 start, it was ridiculously unfair how people in the national media were and continue to do that. He was never brought in to replace Trevor Ariza or even Luke Bamute. It was always a Ryan Anderson thing. Now, early in the season, he did have to spend some time at the three because they had so many ridiculous injuries to Harden and James Ennis. They also had the Chris Paul suspension that just out of emergency, they had to play him in ways that they wouldn't otherwise, and predictably, it didn't go that well. But personally, I think the Rockets legitimately feel bad for him. They don't like this perception because it's unfair to a guy who has been a great NBA pro over his 16-year career and has been exemplary in his work ethic and his professionalism in Houston. The positive things that Mike D'Antoni and Daryl Morey and his teammates, Chris Paul, James Harden, after Thursday night's win over the Warriors said about Melo, those weren't just idle commentary. No, they very much meant what they said. They respected Melo. They wished it could have worked out. Beyond that, player relations matter in the NBA. Carmelo Anthony, through 16 years as a star player, he's a really powerful guy. So is his agent, Leon Rose. And if the perception's out there, and at least to some degree it is, we've seen tweets from LeBron James and Dwayne Wade allude to the fact that they believe their friend, Carmelo Anthony, is being scapegoated for problems that aren't his. If that perception's out there, then yes, it could blow back on the Rockets to where maybe agents, I don't think it's so much players, but agents might not be as willing to steer their clients to Houston in future off seasons. So the Rockets need to make it clear, and I think that's why Daryl Morey didn't just issue the statement, but got behind the camera on Sunday saying those positive things about Melo and trying to explain this situation, that no, the Rockets aren't turning on Melo through 10 games. Are there some people scapegoating Melo? Unfortunately, yes, but none of those are inside the Houston Rockets organization. Again, I think they see that he's not really the solution for them moving forward, but he's also not the problem. And that's what they're trying to make clear. They're not scapegoating him. It's just he's on a minimum contract, and that means there's an easy exit strategy for both sides. And part of this, I do think, is Melo's desires as well. I think he'd rather have an opportunity to go somewhere else and play than sit on the end of the bench in Houston and rack up a lot of DNP CDs. And I said this earlier, but I want to stress it again. Carmelo Anthony still has some basketball left. The Rockets, they started 1-5, and to get off the mat, they won the next two in Brooklyn and Chicago. He averaged more than 20 points per game on better than 60% shooting in those games. I definitely don't think they win the Brooklyn game when he was 9-12 and had 28 points without Carmelo Anthony, and they may not win the Chicago one either. It's not that he doesn't have anything to offer, and it's not that he wouldn't be an upgrade at the end of the Rockets bench. It's whether it's a fit for a Hall of Famer and what he wants now at 34 years old, which I know it sounds like it's particularly old, but really it's not, even on a relative basis, because look at what Chris Paul is doing at 33 and LeBron James, these are his contemporaries. So no, I don't think it's out of line for Melo to think that maybe he has a little bit more left in the tank. And there are just so many misguided comparisons out there. I've seen folks saying that, well, even if he had a couple of good games, this thing was a disaster, otherwise a player wouldn't get released in November. You can't compare this to other situations because it's almost unprecedented for a 34-year-old Hall of Famer to be on a one-year minimum contract. Because one-year minimum contract, that's the ultimate in terms of no risk for either side. At any moment, you can cut bait and move on. And generally, players that sign for that contract amount are going to be more amenable to being potentially the 10th or 11th man. For that limited commitment, both in terms of salary and years, generally speaking, most guys are not going to be upset if they're not being used. Carmelo is an exception to the rule in a lot of ways, certainly politically, but beyond that aspect of it, so much of it just comes down to fit and role, especially for Carmelo at 34 years old in year 16. This is not Michael Carter Williams, where he's hoping that maybe he gets a look, but if he doesn't and he becomes the 10th or 11th man, he's not going to sweat it. It is what it is. No, this is a certain Hall of Famer, and yet he's playing for the minimum. This is very, very rare, and I would say almost for the Rockets at least, uncharted territory. So these comparisons I'm seeing to other situations around the league, players in those roles, and well, Carmelo must be really bad if the Rockets are going to cut him after 10 games. No, it's nothing like that. It's just the fit isn't there, as the Rockets explained in the statement, and fit doesn't just mean for the Rockets, it means for Carmelo as well. In some ways, I think the Rockets are actually, this is the irony in this, they're doing Carmelo a favor. The perception is that they're scapegoating him. No, it's because they respect him so much, they like and admire him so much, they could keep him as the 10th or 11th guy, and at least from a basketball X's and O's perspective, I think the odds are Carmelo would have greater utility than whoever ends up being that 10th or 11th guy on the bench moving forward this season. He is not without value. The reality is that the Rockets are actually setting him free. So that's what's sad about all of this national narrative that's blaming the Rockets for somehow making Melo a scapegoat. No, it's not about that at all. If anything, the Rockets, when you consider the circumstances, are doing Melo as much of a favor as anything. And that's why Daryl Morey got behind the camera to say what he said. That's why they issued the statement. Not only is it that they're not blaming Melo, but beyond that, they respect him a lot. And once the truth gets out, and it may take a few weeks, and hopefully Melo finding another team, and at that point, he'll have to speak out on the situation himself. He's been silent through all of this. But hopefully, as the truth comes out, you'll see the Rockets around the league actually gain some respect from this for how they handled it, because I've just never seen such a bigger split in terms of nationally. There's a lot of folks that seem to think the Rockets have mishandled this or that they have unfairly criticized Melo. No, there have been no criticisms, and the Rockets have actually gone out of their way to try and make this as palatable for Melo as they can. Now, in part, of course, there's a benefit for them because the Rockets want to be seen as a player-friendly organization. They have been for some time with GM Daryl Morey, CEO Tad Brown, owner Tillman Fertitta, relatively new but definitely well-liked around the league, and I think they want that perception to go on. But beyond that, no, I do think they really care about Carmelo, and that's, again, the irony in this whole sad mess as far as the national narrative with Melo. In reality, the Rockets are actually looking out for him. Now, to close out the podcast, I want to turn our attention to why this didn't work on the floor. Our last segment was largely addressing the Rockets' public statements, why they took the stances they did since the reports first started last Saturday that the Rockets were considering moving on from Carmelo or at least having serious conversations about his role. I think the important thing to remember in all of this is that the Rockets started 1-5 and then were 4-7 after Saturday night's game in San Antonio. If the Rockets were 8-3 instead of 4-7, it's very possible, if not likely, in my opinion, that Carmelo Anthony would still be with the team. That's because if you're not having to fight and claw your way back from that bad start, you'd have more buffer. You wouldn't feel like every game was so essential. But the Rockets, a lot of their margin of error was gone after that bad start. So you can't just give minutes to Carmelo Anthony to see, hey, is this a good matchup for him? Is there a certain combination that he might work with in terms of, you know, we saw defensively at least when the Rockets paired Carmelo with Gary Clark, there were some really positive results. I think in a perfect world, the Rockets would have the luxury of experimenting with his role. Unfortunately, with the slow start to the year, that took away a lot of their margin of error, and that's what drove this decision to happen as quickly as it did. Yeah, I know it's just after 10 games, but it's not an insignificant sample. Now we're through 14 games, and that's, you know, over 15% of the year. And when the Rockets know how valuable winning 65 games and having home court advantage throughout the playoffs is, they can't afford to throw away games on an experiment. So part of it, I think the Rockets did not anticipate such a slow start, which kind of put them behind the eight ball in terms of having to run your best lineups all the time just to scrap, just to get by. And as far as Carmelo on the basketball floor, again, it's not like it was all bad. The Brooklyn and Chicago games, for example, he was very, very good. He can still shoot. He's a born scorer. And there are attributes that he can bring to any NBA team. The concern that I had, and I said this when the reports first trickled out last weekend, is that he seemed to be disproportionately strong against bad teams, the Nets, the Bulls. When he went up against quality front lines, especially the longer athletic teams, the Thunder when he was 1 of 11, the Pelicans opener when he struggled, I believe he was 3 of 10, the Clippers, it just seemed like he had a tough time generating separation, and he was never quite comfortable in the catch-and-shoot role. You could tell that even when he got the ball on the perimeter, there were times that he would pass up what looked like a good immediate look and dribble his way into a more contested one because he had 15 years of habit of having to dribble into a shot just to try and create a little bit of separation. He's not used to being that wide open. Now, could he eventually, with more time, get used to the catch-and-shoot role? Perhaps. But again, that gets back into A, the Rockets not having the luxury of that much time, and B, is Carmelo Anthony willing to wait that long and embrace that type of limited role. In terms of his comfort zone, his wheelhouse, it's not that that could never be used on the Rockets, but it seemed to be more valuable against the bad teams. And when you're in the Western Conference, you play so many tough teams on a regular basis. You also have to gear up for the playoffs. And against those types of teams, those were where he struggled. It just seemed like at 34 years old, he didn't have the lift, the explosion to create separation the way he once did. Now, he was bad defensively, but I think the Rockets knew he'd be bad defensively. I don't think he was any worse than expected. At age 34, year 16, that's just the realities of life. He was never the quickest guy laterally to begin with, and now you add all this mileage on top of it. It is what it is. I think the Rockets knew that's why he was bringing off the bench. That's why he was never really an option to start. They knew that at this point of his career, it's just about how you best mitigate that. So putting him against second teamers, pairing him with strong defenders like Gary Clark, the Rockets did everything they could to make him passable. I really don't think that end of the court is what led to his undoing. I think that what led to his undoing, the Rockets, besides just the record, the Rockets expected him to give them a certain degree of production offensively to offset that. And while he did, it generally came against the weaker teams, which is there's some value in that. Sure, over 82 games, you're going to play a lot of teams like Brooklyn and like Chicago. But in terms of gearing up for the playoffs, you have to prepare for the tougher teams. He didn't seem to be as quality of a fit in that roster composition. And if it were February or March, then maybe you say, look, we'll stick him at the end of the bench, and even if he doesn't play, whatever. But with this being November, there's no reason, with so much of the season still left, to force Melo into that role if he's not happy with it. And further to that point, and this is the last point I'm going to make on this podcast, I don't think the Rockets expected Gary Clark to be this good this soon. As far as filling roles against the better teams, I think the Rockets always expected that they would ultimately add another defensive-type player to their roster. But I think they thought it would probably be in February, either via the trade market or by buyout, where the Rockets have most of their mid-level exception available. Be it Trevor Ariza, Wes Matthews, Damari Carroll, Jared Dudley, we've talked about potential 3-and-D wings for a long time, and perhaps the Rockets still go after those guys. But I think the thought was that while it was always possible that one of those guys could eventually eat into Carmelo Anthony's minutes and role, it wouldn't happen until later in the season, February and March. You don't expect an undrafted rookie to be as good from day one as Gary Clark has been. And that has changed the calculus. When the Rockets went to training camp, I don't think they felt like they had a guy that would be able to step in and give them the production at the three and the four spots that Gary Clark has. And ultimately, that does eat into Carmelo's role. I'm going to read this quote from Kevin Durant after Thursday night's game, the 107-86 win the Rockets had over the Warriors. And again, this is Kevin Durant, one of the highest IQ players in the entire league, talking about the Rockets. This team is unique, Houston. They switch every single action. They make your best players try to play one-on-one or play to the crowd. That's their system. They've mastered it. That doesn't sound like Carmelo Anthony. That sounds like Gary Clark. And of course, Gary Clark had a lot of run, 28 minutes, in Thursday's 20-plus point win over the Warriors. The versatility, the switchability that the Rockets have on defense, the two-way play, that was their identity a year ago, and Carmelo Anthony doesn't really fit that. That doesn't mean that he couldn't have a role. And I think in a perfect world, they would have him at the end of the bench in that Ryan Anderson role from a year ago, especially in the playoffs, ready to be deployed in the right circumstances. But there are political realities to a guy who is playing even at a minimum contract. It's a Hall of Famer. But beyond that, the tough conversations the Rockets were going to have with Carmelo, I don't think they expected to need to have them until February or March. And at that point, it'd be so deep in the year that he'd probably accept a role at the end of the bench, because where else is he going to go at that point? In November, there are other options, and that's why, in my opinion, Melo is less likely to accept that type of role. So really, in my opinion, it just came down to bad timing on a number of levels, as far as Melo is concerned. First off, if the Rockets don't start 4-7, I think maybe you could experiment a little bit more and seeing, well, maybe we can try him at the 5. Well, now all of a sudden Isaiah Hartenstein is getting going. But you could try him in different roster combinations, that type of thing. The record took away their ability to do that. They have to go with guys they can trust. And then just simple talent. I don't think the Rockets expected to have a difference maker at the 3 and 4 spots, giving them what Gary Clark is right now until trade and buyout season in February. This is way ahead of schedule for the Rockets. It's a good problem to have, but ultimately, in terms of what Carmelo Anthony wanted from his role, it's a bad thing. And out of respect to him, the Rockets closed the door. I don't think it's saying that he was the problem in the 1-5 start or the 4-7 through 11 games. It's just in fairness to Melo's expectations and in fairness to the team not wanting to be dealt and peppered with these questions on a day-in, day-out basis. This was the time for the Rockets to cut bait, and I think everyone wishes him well. Great guy, and personally, I enjoy dealing with him in such a limited time. He's already done a ton of great community work through his foundation in the Houston area as well. I wish him all the best. I hope he catches on with another team and plays really, really well because he's a true pro. He's fun to watch. It just ultimately wasn't a great fit, and the timing was even worse, and it's not his fault, but at this point, the Rockets had to move on, and that chapter is closed. So, with that chapter being closed, this is probably the last time we'll talk about Carmelo Anthony. Well, sorry, that's a lie. We will talk about it whenever he ultimately does either get waived or hopefully traded, but that's kind of unlikely. But what I mean is that at this point, there's no need to further dissect and analyze his situation. At this point, the chapter in Houston is closed, and everyone can move forward and now concentrate on this great team on the floor, which all of a sudden, I know they're just 7 of 7, but they've 7 and 7, but they've won 3 consecutive games and 6 out of 8 and seem to be playing very similar to the team that was such a juggernaut last year, winning 65 games and going up 3-2 in the Western Conference Finals before losing Chris Paul to that hamstring injury. So we'll be talking more about that team on Saturday evening when the Rockets return to the floor at Toyota Center on Saturday night against the Sacramento Kings. We'll have a full post-game recap after that, but if you want more content in the meantime or during the game, the best place to get real-time analysis for me, of course, is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. The show is on there at Locked On Rockets. Also got a Facebook account, facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, a website, LockedOnRockets.com, email address, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. Always, you can access my prior content, ask me questions about the team, inquire about how to become a potential advertiser. Pretty much anything we can do to make this a better experience for you as a Rockets fan or even you as a human being, don't hesitate to reach out and let me know. Also, I mentioned becoming a potential advertiser. Yeah, we've got great rates, and there's a lot of great opportunities to reach a rapidly growing audience of diehard Rockets fans. Just ask our sponsors over at MyBookie today. Remember, go to mybookie.ag and enter the promo code LOCKEDON, and from there, MyBookie will match your initial deposit by 100% up to $1,000. That's the sponsors of today's show over at MyBookie. If you're interested in following in their footsteps, then please contact me, LockedInRockets@gmail.com, for our advertising specials. We've got some really good introductory rates for clients. Another way y'all can help me out with regards to the advertising landscape is by subscribing to the show if you haven't already. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Megaphone, TuneIn. The odds are wherever you listen to your podcast, you can find us because we're part of a great network of shows at the Lockdown Podcast Network across the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and college sports. So if you would subscribe to us on your platform of choice, you get the benefit of the episodes coming right to your inbox as soon as they are out, even before I can tweet them on my Twitter page. But beyond that, when you subscribe, that's how we look attractive to potential advertisers, especially if you leave a 5-star review, and that's what helps us keep the business model working here at Locked On Rockets, the only daily podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. Once more, the news of today's podcast. The Rockets announced they are officially parting ways with Carmelo Anthony, and that all but officially closes the door on his time in Houston. I personally wish him all the best moving forward, and I hope he finds success elsewhere in the league. But for those of us in Houston, we've got bigger and better things on the horizon with this rapidly improving team, starting with Saturday night's home game against the better-than-expected Sacramento Kings. So until then, thanks for listening, and please come back this weekend and get more game analysis right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily commentary on Houston Rockets basketball.